You are listening to Rochester Indie Media. My name is Ted Forsyth. On April 19th, 2013, I interviewed Sara, a.k.a. Ahmed, who grew up in Iraq and lived through the Gulf War in the early 1990s, as well as the invasion and occupation of Iraq in 2003. While in Iraq, she worked on a number of small projects as well as with a volunteer group, Youth and Educational Development Council. She got a full scholarship to study at the University of Rochester, but had to return to Iraq because of family issues. She returned recently to the United States to speak at the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women and to participate in the upcoming Convergence Resisting Drones Global War and Empire, happening in Syracuse, New York from April 26th to 28th. Currently, when she is in the U.S., she calls Chicago her home. You can find out more about the Convergence at UpstateDroneAction, all one word, .org. In this interview, Sara and I spoke about her role in the upcoming Convergence, where she will be speaking on a panel called The Human Face of War. We also talked about her perspective on jobs and the economy in Iraq, the lack of civic awareness about what the U.S. military is doing abroad, and paper airplanes, among other topics. Don't hate the media, be the media. Rochester.indiemedia.org.
Okay, so my name is Sara Ahmed. I always put my middle initials AK in the middle, Sara AK Ahmed. I finished school. I stayed in Iraq most of my life. I finished university there, so I am. I have bachelor degree of dental science and oral surgery. Mm-hmm. I came last year to the United States. I came for, I got accepted at the University of Rochester for a full scholarship to study. But I got some problems at home, and my dad didn't accept me studying in the United States. So I had to go back. So I'm on inactive status for that, in the University of Rochester. Mm-hmm. I came to the United States now for the conference the UN Commission on the Status of Women. Mm-hmm. And I got invited by Judy Bello to their conference in Syracuse, the Anti-Drone Anti-War Conference. For now, before I come in Iraq, I was part of a volunteering group that is... That I work with youth and educational development, which is called Youth and Educational Development Council. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a way to create awareness and to create kind of small projects to help awareness to help spread awareness and to help youth in educational process in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Also, I have been doing some small projects in Iraq, but some work, some not, because I don't know. I don't have a lot of big network in Iraq, and there you need a lot of, I don't know. You need to know people. You need to, for people to believe you in some way. It's not easier. It's not easy there. Also, I think I'll be working on a project when I will go back to Iraq. I'll be working on a project, and it is to help. Because there is now, after the war, there's a lot of medical issue, let's say, or a lot of kids are being affected after the war. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are coming to life with a lot of malformation, mm-hmm. Rare different kind of cancer. Mm-hmm. So someone ought to not to... look into this problem and see what's the base of it. You know, some people say it is because of the war. I say it's because of the wars, because we have been through wars one after another, one after another, and that. Yeah, I know it's not. I'm sure it has some effect on that, on people and on their system. Mm-hmm. Not only kids. I know a lot of people that are going through medical problems, having masses in different part of their bodies, and it's all because of the pollution, the weapon that have been used, and so I might now when I go back, I'll be working on that too. So,
wow, you sound awfully busy.
I wish I will be. This is all kind of like ideas, and like ideas need to be developed and need a lot of help to get like to get me going, you know.
Right. Yeah. When you say pollution in Baghdad because of the war, are you talking about like depleted uranium?
Yeah, I'm talking about depleted uranium.
So it's funny, I was actually trying to look up some information about you today, and I think I stumbled across your U of R blog.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I thought you were in Rochester.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are we even doing the Skype thing? I could just, you know, go visit you, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I worked for a while as a blogger at the university. I worked in the admission office and also worked as a blogger when I was there.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So how long have you been in Chicago, and when did you go back home?
I came here a while ago, but I initially stayed in New York. I came for a conference, the UN Commission on the Status of Women. Mm-hmm. I come on a yearly basis now for 3 years, and I came because this year was the theme was violence against women.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got to come for the last part of the conference, so which is unfortunate, but it was all right. It was like mostly about tradition and harmful tradition to women, and like emotional and physical violence and all type of violence against women. It was nice. I met a lot of interesting people, and then I came to Chicago. It was like one of my friends offered me a ride here, and I have some people here, so it was kind of convenient to come and stay for a while here before I go to Rochester. And so I'm staying here, not doing a lot of things, to tell you the truth, because the weather is not helping.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's rainy, stormy weather.
Yeah, I heard the news the other day that there was like massive flooding going on.
Yeah, true. In some areas, it's a flood. It's like, it's crazy. They are saying don't go to places with potential flood or something. And also after the explosion that happened in Boston and in Texas, also there is like kind of alerts, you know?
Yeah.
Around the city, so.
Like they're being extra vigilant about everything.
Yeah. Which is good. There's no problem with that.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's crazy. I've been watching Facebook a little bit today and just sort of like going insane watching it, because it's just like, oh my God, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, it is. There's in Iraq also, there has been like explosion 2 days, and like in the last one, which is I think yesterday, there's 60 people died.
Yeah, but you notice how little, you know, we hear about that in the regular news here. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's nothing.
Really. I mean, it's ridiculous. So you're coming to this conference at the end of April.
I have been invited by Judy Bullitt to participate in one of the panel, which is called The Human Face of War.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to be discussing with her?
Before I come to Rochester, there was like a small, like a peaceful protest about like anti-drone, anti-war, protest in New York City, and I went to that, and it was my first experience in like going, like seeing people like protesting and like holding signs, you know. I never did that before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. It's not, I would not say nice to see their point of view, but what I felt that there's a lot of people like knowing the issues, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and want to do something about it, but not actually a lot of people are doing anything. People come in the street, they laugh at them, and they just leave.
Right.
Some people would ask and say, why is that, or take a flyer, but most of the people that walked by, and I was just kind of just seeing and like kind of like taking glimpses of what is happening, because I was just holding a sign about like Iraq war, and it is over, but it's not over really, you know.
Right.
And I was looking at some of the guy who was like passing the flyers, and he was passing them, and no one even, some people won't look at him, you know, and like just give him the respect to nod and say no thanks, you know?
Yeah, like he's not even there. He's just invisible.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. How have drones affected your life, if at all?
Well, actually, I would say that it's not... Okay, so it's not about like how it affected my life or not, but it's kind of like its relationship to war, and how war affected my life, you know?
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, because when I look back at my life, all I see is war. I remember my childhood, I remember my adulthood, I remember my youth, all of it, it's all wars, you know? Mm-hmm. It's all war. So, and the thing is, it's not only about war and, like, being peaceful or anything like that, but it's the implication of war and what comes out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in Iraq, they said that this war or, like, the occupation or whatever it's called kind of liberate Iraq, took it into an era of freedom or whatever, but this is not the reality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Yeah, and I think that, for example, in Iraq, now that war happened and they took like the previous regime out, and they think that this everything is going to be better, or everything is better. Some people you would ask, and you say, they will say, yeah, Iraq is going to be in a good era. It's going to, there's a lot of development, there's a lot of these things, but I cannot see it. And I'm an Iraqi person.
Right.
I'm sure there's some like there is certain type of people, or there is certain like class of people that is going, everything is going well for them. Mm-hmm. Who are the rich people, the people with investment, people that make money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they will say it's fine. But for example, I saw a documentary like 2 days ago, and it was about like the economical development in Iraq, and a lot of like people from China are coming and work in factories and like in oil companies and stuff like that. And this is sad because Iraqi people cannot work, you know?
Right.
They are even bringing like the people that work from outside to work in these companies. Why? Because they will work for lower wages,
mm-hmm.
that Iraqi person would accept, and that will make them, well, come and work and we'll give you like minimal wage, and the other people won't have a chance to work because it's just because you cannot work with a little money, you know, and
right.
You are in your country, which is sad. And there's a lot of like the percent, I am not sure of it, like I cannot say percentage because I'm not sure of it, but the percent of unemployment is like sky high, and it's going up, you know. So it's all these little things that comes, like that comes out of war and out of like the destruction that come out of war, and these are the things that you should, like, we should focus on, because when you combine them all together, it's hell.
Right.
Healthcare, there is none. Infrastructure, that it's all destroyed. When they want to build something or they want to renew something, there's a lot of people that fight over it just for them to take the money and put something, just, it's nothing, you know?
Right. You said you were going to be on a panel in Syracuse called, The Human Face of War? Is that,
yeah.
What are you going to be talking about at that panel?
I have been told that I should say, not my point of view, rather my story, and my point of view about war and how it has affected me and affected my life. I'm not actually, I always think of it because, you know, it's such an important something, like an important subject for me. And when I think of it, I say, what should I talk about? Should I talk about that? And should I say a poem or whatever? It's confusing because such a huge subject. So I thought that maybe when I go and I like talk to people, I'll have like better perspective of what should I say. But basically, I think that talking about war and their effects and how they affect people. And as I told you, like this thing about the like depleted uranium and the health crisis that is like happening all over the country from north to south, it's crazy. People are coming with different kind of like abnormalities, heart diseases, cancer, different kind of cancer things that you cannot even imagine. Like when some of them will with like malformation, especially in Fallujah, now also there's health crisis in Hawija, which is one of the villages in Kirkuk in the north of Iraq, and also in Najaf, which is in south of Iraq. Mm-hmm. It's like a prevalent in the south of Iraq. It's all kind of alerting and no one is doing anything. And when you say something, because it's not with the government, the Iraqi government is not with the US government, it's kind of in the middle, and you cannot, because both parts are kind of involved and you don't know who is fault that is, you know?
Right.
And they don't want to do anything about it, which is sad, you know?
Yeah. So from your perspective, like, what do you think are the most important things people in, you know, the United States who have not grown up with decades of war, like, need to know about, you know, this machine that comes through and destroys and leaves this hell in its wake? Like, what do people here need to know? What do you want to tell them about these things?
I think that people should just what it needs here, what people should like know and should they need to know is that they just I think they should like I don't know if it's like difficult or easy, but they should really know what the implication of the things that's happening. They should see the real thing, the real perspective. Because you would see in the media now, like people coming and would say a lot of like positive things about whatever subject there is. Mm-hmm. And people would buy that and will say, well, everything is going fine. But this is not the reality. I don't know if it's like a problem in the media or a problem in the people themselves, because no one wants to know more. Why should I know more, you know? Not, mm-hmm. I will not say no one, but I will say most of the people will say, like, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. People are, like, having trouble everywhere. But what I say is people should just, like, kind of open themselves to know more and to see the reality of things, to see how people are suffering because of, like, these stupid things, these stupid machines. They should know how people are, how a generation of people are being affected by these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which kind of leads me to my next question, which is how can people resist the military industrial complex, the war machine? Like, what does that look like to you?
Well, I feel that personally, I think no matter the like population was against like militarism or against like these kind of like industry or like these companies, I think that they cannot do anything because it's kind of politics and like it's bigger than any action. But saying the word never hurts. Saying that, like, putting ourselves out there and saying let's be peaceful, there's no need for these things, and like some countries and like prove that without military they can live peacefully and they no one can hurt them, you know. So I believe that just saying the word and like spreading it, there's no harm in that, you know. I know it might not affect actually the companies or the industry, but it just put the word out there, you know? So they won't say there is like a consent or there is like a huge yes about whatever we are doing, because there is like a huge no, you know?
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about consent and what you mean by that?
What I mean is that, okay, so
Break it down for people. Like,
yeah, let's, for example, if let me tell you, if I'm doing a project, if I'm doing something, and No one, when I'm doing this, like I'm creating this, like I will be creating like a paper. Let's say, do you know when we make paper, like an airplane in the paper and make it fly?
Oh, paper airplane.
Yeah, an airplane, making an airplane. Yep. So if I'm making an airplane in paper and I'm seeing everybody in the room sitting around me and no one is saying no to what I'm doing and I'm making it and making it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see people saying no or like why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel that everybody is like saying yes to what I'm doing and like they are in agreement with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it will be fine me doing this like airplane and I will be finished and then I will launch it, you know? And it will hit whatever it will hit, you know?
Right.
And I will feel good. Then I will feel good about myself, but I will feel good with my choice of making this airplane and making it hit this target, you know? Because I would say, well, people know that I'm doing the right thing for them, you know? I'm helping those crowd on, like, seeing me making this paper to protect them and going and hit the thing that it should go to.
Mm-hmm.
But if I saw like people yelling at me, why you are making this airplane? Don't make it, you know? Even if I'm like, keep making it, but it will make me question myself. It will make me, okay, so why am I making it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like common sense. I know it's difficult for like, I'm saying, I'm talking from one person perspective, but I'm sure like, because we are all human and human have this like, have this thing in their mind, which you question yourself. We question ourselves. We are human of like questioning. We always question, which is good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I heard like a lot of objection of what I said, of what I'm doing, I ought to like pause for a minute and I say, well, what am I doing? You know?
Yeah. And then I'm thinking like, as you're making the paper airplane, and people are just sort of not paying attention or not caring. Once you let it go, you launch it, and then nail somebody in the back of the head without their consent, they're going to be like, what are you doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then
because,
suddenly it becomes, oh.
Yeah, because this is how it happens. We always, we always jump after the, like, let's say, after the sound of the explosion. We don't know, we don't know how it happened, when it will happen and where will it happen. We just get the impact of it, you know, the aftershock or the after, like, whatever out of like the explosion or the whatever it happened, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then people react to it. I mean, it makes me think of like 9/11. Like, there were very specific reasons why planes were flown into buildings.
Yeah.
And if you had been following U.S. international policy for the last, oh, I don't know, 100 years, you might see why there are people in the world that don't like what this country does. And yet so many people after that were like, why? What's going on? You know, because many people are so uninformed about, like, global events.
Yeah, true. It's just, for me, the United States, let's say, I won't say about the people because I have nothing against the people. I have so many friends and so many support system and so many like people that I love and adore and that helped me so much here. And they're all Americans. So I have nothing against them. But like, it's all comes to politics, you know, and higher power that controls everything.
Right.
And as I always see, like, this universe, and let's say this, like, the whole, like, globe, you know, it's just like a chessboard. And there is two powers playing on this chessboard. And, like, they are moving the pieces, like, let's move Iraq and put it here, and, like, let's fight. Like, it's a soldier, let's fight this, like another soldier from another place. And they're just keeping, like, in a strategy game, you know, the chess is a strategy game and they have to like strategize it to win, you know?
Yep.
And like one of the powers is the United States on this chessboard playing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they are playing with all these countries and they playing with the soul of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is why? Who put them? Like who put them the ultimate ruler of everything? Who put them like to help a country if it needed help, or to prevent country from getting AIDS, or who put them like who gave them the power to like declare war on a certain country or a certain place, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's just a lot of questions, and what I'm seeing is just like if everyone like mind their own business. I'm not saying everyone like in a passive, like aggressive way. No, it's just like minding their own business. It's just like you don't need like to militarize and like to put your military out there just like for the sake of helping people. No, you don't need that. Maybe like, okay, like peaceful meetings, protests, or maybe like giving speeches. It never hurts. It's encouragement. It gives you hope, but mm-hmm. There is no need for like a violent action, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why should people care about this? Why should they come out? I mean, I feel like you've already addressed that a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I believe that like people should come just for the sake of knowing, you know, just to know the truth. Maybe my truth is different than other people's truth. Maybe I don't see it as like a whole picture, but just knowing the other point of view and seeing the truth like by a first-hand like experiencer. I don't know how to say it, you know.
Experience.
Life there. I experienced war, I experienced peace, I experienced like the previous regime, I experienced wars, I experienced the United States government being there, making people know and understand what is happening and what is really the implication of war, and like also what is the implication of I don't know how to say it, like shoving ourselves and other people's business might do, because this is of major importance. Just knowing, you know, it's just like having the idea of what is happening, the reality of it, what is happening. I have been in Jordan, I have been in Syria, and I have been in Iraq, and in all these countries I have seen like how it starts, like the war, how it started. And I have been in Syria like when like the things started to like get kind of like not like worry, but kind of people started to protest against the regime and all that. And you look where it ended now, Syria, and how it is going on there. So
yeah.
I just feel that people, just by people knowing about the problem and knowing how can they help, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. and that's just by itself enough, you know.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Where where can people get more information?
Oh, that's a hard question, actually, because...
Oh, really?
It is really a hard question, because, you know, who can you believe and who can you not, you know?
Right.
And media is not 100% truthful most of the time, you know? And people will say, this channel is wrong. But I think that there's a lot of such conferences. And most of these, not all of them, because I have been in some that people will like even in the United Nations, one of the conferences that I have been in, and they were talking bad things about Iraq and how the American soldiers, when they come and they made good things, and Iraqi people are bad. And I have heard it by Iraqi people talking about that.
Mm.
So it's just, I think that when you have a chance, when like anyone have a chance to go and to be in like in an anti-war conference or anti-drone conference, like peace conferences, like there is also the Veterans Against War, the Iraqi Veterans Against War. They always make a lot of conferences, and I think those are the kind of people that we really want to listen to. Not a lot of people listen to them, but actually those are the people that holding sides and walk like standing in the street for hours, you know. Those are the people you need to talk to and to need to like to see what they think and what the perspective of like what they have in their mind, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any websites that you go to personally to get information?
I actually, I you will laugh because when I wanted to like to watch news, I go to the BBC, the New York Times. I just
the regular news sources.
Is the regular news, which is funny. But I also go to Jazeera to know some news about Iraq, and because you know, as I told you, there's not a lot of places that you can go and like listen and see what is happening.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no, thank you. My name is Sarah Ahmed, and you are listening to Indie Media.